It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time. Willie Nelson was the guest star, and what a star, in episode 248, Behind the Laughter, which was the season finale of season 11. He was not the only star in it. Not counting the clips of all the different stars, including Stephen Hawking, that they provided just little bits of from past episodes. The other person that they had the voice of was the then announcer for Behind the Music. VH1's Behind the Music, which you may or may not recall as being a very, very popular show about the dark side of stardom. Produced in a very specific way that was ripe for parody. Jim Forbes was his name, the name of the announcer for Behind the Music. Having his real voice in there definitely lent it even more authenticity than they normally would be able to have. Watching it again now, these days, am struck by how much he sounds like Ron Howard also, which is, of course, coincidental, and they could never have known this, but Arrested Development would come a few years later, and get people more used to the idea of a snarky guy with a California accent saying things in a faux serious way as funny things are happening on screen. I learned that the reason why the graphics were so similar to the VH1 graphics of the reel Behind the Music is because they asked VH1 to use them, and they were actually sent the reel graphics. They could cut corners a little bit that way. And it definitely was very faithful, very similar. This was directed by Mark Kirkland. It was written by Tim Long, George Meyer, Mike Scully, and Matt Selman. George Meyer, of course, the big daddy of all the Simpsons writers. Always great to see his name on a script, along with those three very heavy hitters of the early 2000s in the series. It made for a very funny show, and I say that, you know, with no reservations. I used to hate this show just because I thought that it was unnecessary to do this deconstructivist thing that made reference to a real thing. You know, you're taking us too far out of Springfield at this point, because now we're in Hollywood. Now this is the real world seeping in to Simpsons universe. But just the funniness of the show is redemptive. Like, it saves it for me, watching it all these years later. It makes me realize, in a way that I think I didn't realize before, just how ludicrous Behind the Music is. You know, it's every Behind the Music has that same story arc of the celebrity is no one. They are famous. They are miserable. They are destroyed. And then it ends on a happy note, like something, what's next for Britney Spears or whoever. They followed that very well. And the writing of the host segments, you know, the things that he says in voiceover is just so silly. And so are all of the little dramatizations that we see. I mean, the dramatizations like the entire Simpson family rolling in giant floods of money and caviar in the house when they're riding high in stardom. And everyone, including the dog, the cat, and a fish, are rolling around in money. They're also shown right after that, lying on a hilltop being covered in roses, sort of American Beauty style. And I don't remember the line exactly, but it was like, you know, life was a constant bed of roses for the Simpsons. But what they didn't realize was that each rose was filled with a stinging bee, you know, like... And then they actually show footage of a bee. And there are several other really funny moments like that. There's like a stereotypical accountant type, you know, with half glasses, you know, balding accountant guy rendered in black and white, like making the accounts. And that segues into a book called The Encyclopedia Self-Destructica, and you see words in it, and then it closes, and then it explodes. The whole show is full of things like that, which I think is just so clever. It's so well done. So, this show, what is it about? Well, it's one of these non-canon shows. We see a version of The Simpsons that doesn't really exist in Springfield, you know, and in the life of the entire show. We're asked to pretend that they're Hollywood actors, though also a family, that had a TV show made about them. And so you see their meteoric rise to success. Bart's face on t-shirts, you know, which of course really happened, but in this one you see him saying things like, "You bet your sweet bippy, man," and "Life begins at conception, man." You see them moving into MC Hammer's house and Homer taking a tool and banging the sign outside that says Hammer Time to make it say Homer Time. And yeah, they're riding high until addiction, you know, and interior strife within the family, and, you know, name any of the many things that Behind the Music has treated, all come to haunt them all at once, and they have a breakup. Wherein we see Marge doing her own sort of cabaret night, where she performs I Shot the Sheriff in like a sparkly costume with backup dancers, and then she goes, "Good night, Loveland!" It's very good. The family has its ultimate meltdown during the Iowa State Fair, where they are performing as part of Jimmy Carter's Habitat for Hilarity. You know, I mean, all these things that I'm saying, you can see, are very, very funny. And it's impressive how many different items, different, like, little adventures that they pack into this, you know, 20-some-odd minute show. And at the end, it turns out that the person who reunites them during a sham awards ceremony is Willie Nelson. And He does that because he wants to do a favor for his old fraternity brother, Dr. Hibbert, which is so funny. It's just the joke is tossed off, but in this documentary style footage that is throughout the show, you see Dr. Hibbert talking to the camera saying, you know, oh, well, you know, I decided to call my old fraternity brother, Willie Nelson, to help us out because we all wanted to see The Simpsons reunited. And then we see Willie Nelson on his tour bus, having his hair braided by a robot. And you see him speak in Willie Nelson's real voice. And he says, well, I'd do anything for Kegmeister Julius. Like, that is my number one favorite joke in the show. And it comes amid many, many, many others. I like the sort of old-timey movie devil that they use when they say The Simpsons made a deal with the devil. It's another one of those stock footage-y things. It's like sort of faded color film, or made to look like that, of a guy in like a bodysuit and devil horns going, ha, 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 you know. And so, yeah, they are finally reunited. Willie Nelson pulls a fast one on them, has them all come out to present an award at the same time. And after a little bit of animosity, they decide to patch things up. And Willie Nelson's braids go whoop, you know, with joy. Sort of Pippi Longstocking style or whatever. And that's it. And they in a very, very interesting and not ever repeated little trick at the end, they talk about speculating on what's next for this Western Massachusetts family. And what's notable about that is that every time it was shown in syndication after that, they said that the family were from a different state. They said a Northern Kentucky family, you know, a Central Missouri family. And I checked. I think that it's so brilliant to have, like, all these different versions of the same episode that they can play, you know, that are completely the same except for that one little bit of dialogue. And I checked on Simpsons World last night, and both times that I watched it, they did say Western Massachusetts, so they don't keep doing that on Simpsons World, but I think it would be funny if they did. Anyway, I retract my former dislike of this fine, fine episode. I think that it is so lovingly done. It's so packed, you know, it's very dense with jokes in the way that the best Simpsons episodes have to be. And it was completely ahead of its time. Ricky Gervais would not release The Office until a year after this. And really the only thing like it that had been done by this point was This Is Spinal Tap, which, you know, of course is so ahead of its time. But I don't know. Fine job. Good job. No UFMs here from me this time, except for maybe they could have gone with a funnier name for Homer's pot-bellied pig that he was dismayed to be separated from. He says, Mr. Porky. I think they could have made him be named Mr. Snuffles or something like that. Anyway, thank you for listening to Simpsons Time. It is always a pleasure to bring you Simpsons Time. And we are listening to me talk over the song Fame and Fortune by Mission of Burma. I neglected to mention the song at the end of last week's episode, which was, of course, We Saw the Sea, as sung by Fred Astaire. This has been Simpsons Time Through the Debigulator. I'm Amanda Nazario, and I thank you so much for tuning in. or for downloading the podcast this week, or for listening to the podcast on your friend's computer by accident and sticking around to hear the whole thing, or however you happened upon it. Just listening to that again just now, I feel like it might have been jumping the gun to say that This Is Spinal Tap was the first instance of this kind of fake documentary in comedy. I mean, the Ruddles, of course, were slightly like this. Probably some stuff had been done on SCTV, too, that was similar. Anyway, submit your own thoughts about who did the fake documentary first. You can email me through the WFMU email system. You can follow me on Twitter at Amnaz, AMNAZZ. You can follow me on Instagram at AM_NAZZ. Please enjoy the rest of your week. Go in peace, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.